great future. We're talking real money.
Is there any point, really, is there any point at all, in giving out the phone number on 4th of July weekend? Is there any point in giving it out?
I'm going to say yes, because I think, and I hope you don't take this wrong, there could be fireworks.
You think in this show there are actually going to be fireworks? Tom, this is not political. I mean, we talk about money. How many fireworks? The fireworks have already happened.
After the first half of this year, I think there could be something.
I was going to say, the fireworks have already happened.
I did a podcast yesterday. I got attacked by my five-year-old grandson about his 529 return. So I think it's a distinct possibility.
You know, he doesn't have much experience with this, but our listeners are experienced.
Oh,
they're wise. They have wisdom. The wisdom of the ages. Old people. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show that becomes a podcast called Talking Real Money. I am Don McDonald. I haven't been talking to you guys about money for way, way too long. It's time to stop. And over there is Tom Cock, who's been talking to you guys about lots of things, not just money. He actually talked about like business and stuff for almost as long. Well, he spun some discs in there, but that doesn't really count as talk.
Real hot DJ there. I need some credit for that, dude.
Not much. But he is here for you. And the good news is he's actually here for you. Did you talk to anybody this morning?
No, I had no meetings today.
No, that's the 4th of July weekend.
I think I have three. I think I have like 7, 8, 9 next weekend.
All right.
Bing, bang, boom. So.
Well, if you would like to pose a problem or confer a question upon us, it is the easiest darn thing to do, particularly this weekend, because what are people doing over 4th of July weekend? Not paying attention to money, I bet. Well, spending it, but not paying any attention to the spending of it.
What are they doing? They're sitting in lines at the airport trying to go somewhere.
We have a friend here who was here for the very first cruise of the Disney Wish and flew out from California for that. And she's looking at her flights. Actually, if she delays her flight from today because Delta has suspended change fees over this weekend, she can actually turn her flight from tonight into a flight tomorrow and get cash back.
Or she could go to Grand Rapids and get paid $10,000
to get off the plane.
Up to her.
Folks, that actually did happen. Folks on a plane, a Delta flight in Grand Rapids, Michigan, were offered $10,000 to get the heck off the plane. Not $10,000 in flight credits, $10,000 cash immediately in your Apple Pay account.
I think you said something today about this is just a strange time in many ways, and that really shows you. It truly is.
It's a strange, strange world we live in. And today we're going to do something that is done so rarely on the radio, at least with any kind of good measure, and that is talk about money, your money, and how you can manage it better, and the things that have happened to it and might happen to it in the future, and the things you can't do and you can't predict, and all of that kind of stuff. But we want to help you first. So here is a telephone number for you to dial. You ready to dial the number? Are you? Are you sure? Because it will bring you right to us magically at 855-935-TALK, 8255. I know Tom's shaking his head again. I hate those letters.
I just can't figure it out.
They're right there on your phone. Look. They're right there.
It doesn't matter.
All right. It doesn't matter to him because he's a troglodyte.
There you go.
I'm going to troglodyte instead of Luddite now.
I know. I'm moving up, I guess.
Well, that's actually down. Luddites are more 19th century. Troglodytes are more like negative 100,000 centuries or something. 855-935-TALK. Give us a call. We're going to get talking about money, but we got to take this break.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestory advisors help you save your future at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Well, color me surprised. Yeah, look at that. We just went away for a couple minutes and people actually said, my long weekend is not that important. Money is far more important. So I'm going to call Tom and Don at 855-935-TALK. And the first one to do it, so we'll go to him first, was Dennis. Dennis, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Well, let me say to, I believe in Florida, to Don McDonald, and in Seattle, Tom Cox. Hey, thank you so very much for the Maidenbauer Vestry.com. But I tell you, I've been a, how can I say it, spoiled individual. I've had, your employer that will give so much matching money for retirement. Well, when you finally quit the regular employer, then you're trying to invest on yourself. And I have a meeting to finally make it a little bit more beneficial with you folks. But could you give, let's say, the rookie people like myself some good advice? And I know you can't give it for free.
Yeah, we can.
We're going to do it right now for free.
Well, I know that. And I thank the both of you gentlemen, because if the people realize, and they've listened to you for many years, you have probably 40 to at least 80 years, if not maybe more, of great experience, because you two gentlemen, you make a heck of a team. But thank you for what you give whoever listens to What Money Matters.
I'm feeling really old now, Dennis.
Let's not do the length of time,
so Dennis. What's the question for old Tommy over there?
He was talking about comparing doing it on your own, like in an IRA versus an employer plan. Is that what you're saying?
No, he's got a meeting with us, and he was going to ask a question about that.
Well, I apologize for talking with when you asked the question, but yes, the employer kind of gives you a standard thing. I'm going to mention what's the second letter of the English alphabet, and you can kind of get the idea of a large, they kind of give you an idea, and then I've kind of played with it, and I've done quite well with it. But then once that goes away, you're not in having large cap or small cap, or you don't have the same entities that they had. And so that's where I say to all of our listeners, make sure you talk to Vestry and you make up a meeting, and then you can kind of maybe get what you previously have had.
Did you pay him?
No, but I'm going to.
That's the kind. We're not just talking about us, though. And Dennis, thank you so much. We're talking about everybody who leaves an employer and is trying to build we're moving from the accumulation phase, which is what you do with your employer, to the income generation phase or the decumulation phase. That transition for a lot of people can be very, very difficult and fraught with huge potential problems, because there's so much horrible, 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 horrible advice out there. I can't even say horrible enough. There is so much of it. So the reality is that some people are capable of doing it on their own coming out of retirement, but I think the bigger and the more complex your portfolio gets and the more complex your life gets, which it does in retirement in many ways, the more important it is to have someone who is truly in your corner. And that is not the vast majority of the financial services industry. And that's why, yeah, we think it's important that you take a meeting with someone like Vestry or someone like some of the other firms that we mention at Talking Real Money, that we give you the names of other firms you can talk to too.
We see this, and thank you for your call, Dennis, and thank you for joining us at Retire Meet. We see this on a regular basis where people, as you said, Don, leave their employer, head into retirement, and then the advice they get is truly awful. It's self-interested for the broker. For example, we just met with someone who was advised to take a large amount of their retirement savings and put it right into an annuity. Well, this person already has Social Security and a pension. They don't need a third annuity, if you will. And there was absolutely no reason to do it other than
commission.
Guess what? Yeah, we figured out in that one afternoon, the person who sold her that product made $15,500. So you're exactly right, Dennis. It's a dangerous time for people that are getting closer to retirement, and they should get I think 100% fiduciary fee only type advice and take advantage of, and we do this, as you said,
but
we do try to help people for
again,
free.
Again,
sure.
We're trying not to make this show all about us. We don't want it to be all about us.
No,
there are other firms. It's just that there aren't very many, which is why we mentioned some on our website, talkingrealmoney.com. 855-935-TALK. That's our phone number. Lines open. Michael, you're up next. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Michael here, calling from Fox Island. Hello.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah,
what's
up?
I do.
Okay, the question I have is, this is about long-term care insurance, and I guess it was a year and a half ago where they came out and said everybody's got to pay for it, take it out of your check, unless you have long-term care insurance in place. Well, I scrambled and got a long-term care policy for myself and for my wife at the same time, and I'm going to keep that long-term care insurance policy for myself because it's going to save me money out of my check. But my wife doesn't have any income. My wife doesn't have a job. My question is, should I continue paying for her long-term care insurance even if she doesn't have a job in the state of Washington?
Okay, so let's go back. The Washington CARES Act, as you know, I believe it back in the courts, they threw it out. They didn't throw it out. The government decided, the powers that be decided there were some pieces of it they needed to work out. So it has not gone into effect in 2022. The question is, will it go into effect in 2023? Our advice on this has always been that if you've looked at your situation and you need long-term care insurance and you want long-term, you want that assurance that you know that you're going to be taken care of, you should go buy long-term care insurance. But to go buy it because of this was not a good thing to do. Number two, a lot of the policies we sold during all this were not very good policies. They were cheap. They would cover a little bit of these. And so I worried that people sort of rushed into making a decision. So back to your situation with your wife. I think the payroll tax is, what, half of 1%? So I'm not sure what impact that would really have on her if she's not working.
It's not the job issue or the tax situation that I think you need to consider. This is another one of those decisions that needs to be personal. It has to be based on your situation and your, not only your possible expectations going forward, but your fear factor. Do you want to go into retirement with the security of knowing that at least a portion of the long-term, it has to be a decision about lifestyle. You want to make sure a portion of your wife's care is covered in retirement, or do you feel like you can self-insure, in essence? And I know personally, my wife and I are self-insuring.
Me too, by the way. And Barbara Devereaux, who works for us, does a wonderful piece that she did at retirement and will do again at next year's retirement, outlining all, putting all this together in a way that's very personal because she's gone through it. So she saw it from the other side. She saw the cost of all this, not just financially, emotionally, all that sort of thing that around her mother. People have been through that. Then they oftentimes say, I'm having long-term care. I don't care. I personally haven't been in that situation. As Don said, Don's self-insured. I'm self-insured as well, so I do not have it.
Yeah, and thanks for your call. We really appreciate it. But the decision has to be personal. 855-935-TALK. That's our telephone number. And my gosh, the lines are just full of people. We really appreciate y'all calling. And we'll get back to the phones in a minute. Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com. Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Most everything you do is a decision that should be at least partially driven by what you personally need. Not just these financial decisions, you know, like whether I'm going to pay a tax or not, but do I feel more comfortable knowing that long-term care, for example, is taken care of? 855-935-TALK. John, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Long time listener. I guess a couple of years. I don't know if that's a long time or not. A couple of years.
That's long.
Taking the easy way.
Sure, we'll take it.
I've taken the easy way, you know, so my retirement, I'm about a year away from retiring. My retirement is basically mostly rolled up in target index funds. And I guess, for lack of a better word, I've laddered them when I think I'll need the money. So it's simple, but now I'm starting to worry about how do I rebalance those?
They rebalance themselves.
Well, no, but he's saying because he has them sort of
laddered,
if you will.
So, so if you have like a 2025 and a 2030, well, the 2025 is going to get get more conservative as you get closer to 2025. They all are. They are all gradually rebalancing themselves to move toward a less risky mix.
Now, if I end up or say that I don't need as much money, say, out of the 2025, do I just exhaust that, or do I get a little bit more daring and move that into a 2030? Or just let it
ride? I'm rolling that forward into the 2030. Because even remember, I'd have to look it up right now, but the 2030 probably is a 60-40 portfolio, something like that. In other words, 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds. That's a moderate portfolio. I mean, especially for somebody who's retired or retiring soon. And I see I kind of like your strategy, actually, sort of laddering these things up. And when you need the money, you take it out of there and you move on to one that's a few years down the road to actually being that year. I think that's a fine strategy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
We suggested it to somebody just about a week ago where they said, well, we have a 2020 and we're just not going to need the money. So what should we do? Roll out to 2025 or roll out to 2030. And actually, Tom, let me just look at that.
You go ahead. While you're doing that, I will mention a couple of things about target date funds. In a general sense, for people that don't want to spend any time on this and just want to kind of have to put the money in there, set it and forget it, this is probably the best thing to do. The downsides are that, again, they don't have all the diversification we're going to want you to have. Number two, they're telling you what your asset allocation should be, not dependent on who you are, as Don just talked about a minute ago, emotionally, but really who you are in terms of age. And everybody has a different feeling about money risk tolerance, all those sort of things. But those are small downsides. And I think for very many people, and very many people are using them today, they make a lot of sense.
Sure. And one of the things that our good friend Paul Merriman recommended in his book, We're Talking Millions, narrated on Audible by Don McDonald, that you could do target funds. And then for that little bit of money that you're thinking, I'm not going to need this, I don't think I'm going to need this for maybe ever, you slip that into a small cap value fund. So basically you have the target date for the bulk of your portfolio, maybe a 5 or 10 or 20% piece of your equity position in a small cap value fund to give you that little boost.
Yeah, and you could use we've talked about these before. VBR at Vanguard or AVUV at Avantis, that gives you some exposure to stocks that are really very much underrepresented in target date funds.
And by the way, the 2030 is 65-35.
About close.
The 2025 is 60-40.
Yep. There you go. I mean, so the difference, frankly, both in returns and volatility between a 65-35 and a 60-40 is going to be pretty small.
I hate to correct you, but it's the difference, John Lee. Frank's not on the line.
Frank had John to go. Lee. John Lee's still there.
Thanks for calling, John. We appreciate it. We wish you well in retirement, and please keep listening so that you become not only a longtime listener, but a really longtime listener.
Yeah, you just listen on and on.
Yeah, and then there are all the podcasts too. Wow. I'm telling you, there's a lot to listen to. Well, let's see. What are we going to do now? Oh, yeah. We're going to take a break. 855-935-TALK is our number. The line's open.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry. We can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
We're talking real money.
Hey there.
You know what
I
love? You know what I love about this?
You didn't even let me get started.
This show is a reflection of real life where people think this has happened, so this will continue to happen. Recency bias, because you thought no one would call today because it's a holiday. The lines have been loaded with calls. It shows you how wrong you can be about the future. Not just you, all of us.
You got that in. That was good.
And that's his wisdom.
I have a math problem for you, since you want to do that. I have a math problem.
Ready to write it down.
All right, you ready?
Okay.
You were asking about something like this a little earlier. If you won $5 million on the lottery.
Yeah.
And you decided to donate a quarter of that to charity, how much would you have left?
I think it's like $4
million. $4,999,999.75.
That's a good one. You
said you wanted a money joke, so I found one for you.
Thank you. That's funny. Wow, that is really good. Yeah. That's really good. Very crafty.
855-935-TALK is our number. Susan, it's your turn. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for taking the call. Mine kind of dovetails with what you were talking earlier about being self-insured for long-term care in those waning years. Mm-hmm. We've got money in a 401k and very little in a Roth, and we're looking at doing conversions over the next few years until we have to start taking RMDs. If you had to spitball, what would you leave in a 401k to sort of help manage those costs for long-term care?
That's an interesting question.
I don't know that I would leave anything necessarily. Yeah, because
apples and oranges.
Because it's really a matter of if you could afford the taxes to convert the whole regular thing to Roths, well then you won't have any RMDs. So it's not a matter of saving it for long-term care, because either one of the accounts can pay for long-term care. Am I missing something?
Well, no, that's exactly correct.
It's a tax advantage to take money out of a 401k if it's having to deal with medical expenses, as opposed to paying straight federal taxes.
Okay, I get it. You're thinking about the early withdrawal penalty.
59 and a half. Yep.
Yeah, you can take money out of a 401k for medical care issues without paying the 10% penalty.
Mm.
But once you're past 59 and a half, that doesn't apply anymore.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I
mean, you should, and by the way, back to the long-term care question, which is the centered around, Susan. I mean, the reality is if you're close to retirement and you're trying to figure out how to pay potentially for long-term care, you should have a plan in place that looks at all the possibilities. It looks across the spectrum of what you can afford, what your money will cover, how long it will last, all those sorts of things. And then, as Don correctly said, it could be pre-tax or post-tax. That part, not that important.
Right. Oh, good. Good to know. Perfect.
All right. Thanks, Susan. Thanks for your call. 855-935-TALK. Give us a call. Teria, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. What's up?
I'm calling you guys again for some advice. Just a little really fast history. Based on your recommendation, I got out of an annuity. And I don't have a lot of in the 401k, but I got out of annuity, went to Vanguard, and it's been working great. And then, as I put it, the stocks went on sale. I was at a 60-40 in Vanguard. I went to an 80-20 and put more in stocks. And now here we are having a sale again on stocks, right?
Yes, we are. So good attitude. I love your attitude. That's great.
So I will have a pension when I retire. I will have Social Security, and that should probably take care of my month-to-month expenses. And I don't plan on retiring for a couple of two or three more years. But I'm wondering if I need to get out of the bonds and put everything in stock.
Whoa. I mean, here's the reality. Are you okay with seeing your balance go down by half at some point?
Sounds like she might be.
it goes down, but when it comes back, the stocks come back a lot stronger. And so we know that
they have in the past. We don't know what the future is going to hold, but.
And we don't know how long that may take. We don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of factors. We don't. History has shown, yes, bear markets last, 18 months? They go, in the worst case, they've gone down by half. It could be worse this time. We don't know all of those things. And if you truly don't need the money, the reality, and this is for everybody listening, if you truly don't need the money in the short or probably long term, then you should have it all in stocks, because stocks have made more money than bonds. There
you go. They are very scary and volatile. As long as you're good with that, it's pretty good. Thank you so much. 855-935-TALK is our number. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Oh, yes, our number is 855-935-TALK, and apparently you do like calling on holiday weekends. I don't know why we thought otherwise. It's just nice to see all of you out there.
You thought otherwise.
I thought otherwise. You did, too.
I had every confidence in all of you.
All right, before we go back to the phones, I do have another fascinating, fun-filled money fact. I like to share these every once in a while on the show.
Please.
But, you know, like, we talked about 2 bits, 4 bits, all that, and why they were called bits. Because, you know, the pieces of eight, which was the Spanish dollar. Remember that? That was a fact. Did you know why they call money dough?
I think I do know this, but I've forgotten.
Because everyone needs it. Things.
There you go. okay. So,
Tim, you're up. Welcome to Talking Please. Real Money.
Save us.
It's all in the setup, Tom.
Okay, guys. Happy 4th of July weekend from a occasional longtime listener. I do have a question, or you know what? It's really kind of a complaint, to be honest.
Be
truthful.
It's about my jokes.
You guys talk about long-term care insurance, whether or not it's a good idea. But, you know, long-term care companies, you know how they, you know, part of their gig, how they make money? Your money, they're taking your premiums when they know for a period of time nothing's going to happen to you, nothing's going to go wrong. And then at some point in time, they have their actuaries figure out, hey, at this point in time, everything's going to start wearing out. Then they jack the premiums on you, and guess what you do? You cancel your policy. So it's
Tim, that's all insurance. Tim, that's all insurance, though. That's the game insurance companies play.
But you know, not property insurers. Okay, you can get
they do.
You can get a level term policy for.
Yeah, but they still have actuaries who sit around doing the math, and they're going.
No, listen. You guys shouldn't allow long term care policies being sold, or you guys shouldn't even talk about this until you can get a level term long term care policy.
Did you notice? Wait, Tim. Before you get all upset, did you notice that both of us said we self-insure? We don't like long-term care policies. We've never told people ever to buy them. We say it is a personal decision, like so much insurance. Some people say they need a permanent, and it's true actually. Some people do, in very rare cases, need permanent cash value life. There are cases, rare though they might be, where someone actually needs it.
How many people can afford that realistically?
Not very many. No. It's a small number.
You don't realize that you
basically have two allies here when it comes to
you're preaching to the choir.
okay. All right, fellas. I was just kind of grinding on this.
We don't like long-term care. I would never buy it. I've had multiple opportunities.
For people that want to own it, that want to have it.
Well, you know, for what it covers, you know, when you lay out your Medicaid, Medicare supplement policies, whatever it covers, it's not a bad idea, but you're never going to get a level term policy.
No, they won't sell them because they'll lose money
for 20 years.
The insurance companies know if they ever offered a product like that, because in the past they did some,
and they
lost a fortune. Yeah. They got killed. Insurance companies are not in the business of charitable giving to us. They're in the business of using our money to make more money than we're going to get out of them. That's the whole deal. And that's why I, unlike Tom, am a real disliker of insurance companies almost across the board, because I think the industry is at best disingenuous, and at worst maybe dishonest. So again, you're preaching to the choir. I totally agree with you.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Have a great fourth. I'll keep listening. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there are people that should have it because they should have it. I mean, it's a personal decision. It's not, there isn't a right or wrong here.
No. No.
And I agree with Don that in any business arrangement you have with any insurance company over any policy, you need to be careful, because I do think they have a tendency, as you said, to want to make money for the company, not necessarily represent the person they're selling the policy to very well. That's my take.
And on to a little another subject that I just found this fascinating. We talk a lot about how there is no cause and effect between, you know, things that happen today and future events, that we don't know the future, we can't know it. Well, apparently, though, according to a couple of big studies, if you look at the value of your investments,
yeah, that's fascinating.
They go down. If you look, Jack Bogle always said, don't peek. Yeah, we always said, don't look at your portfolio. But it turns out, honestly, two studies by behavioral economists found that those who look at their portfolio more often
end up with less money. Because
they get scared.
They get scared. And the people that don't look as much end up buying more stocks. I think I just suggested that more stocks than bonds has made people more money over time.
Absolutely.
And if you can deal with the ups and downs, you're not looking at it every day, and you get on with it. I mean, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Especially if you're retired and that's my nest egg, that's all I got, and I'm tired of seeing it go down by, 15% this first half of a year for an all equity portfolio, over 20 if you're in the S&P, over 30 if you're in most of those huge technology companies that have gotten wiped out, or over almost 60% in cryptocurrencies. So it could be worse, as they say.
It could be a lot worse. It's very interesting, though, this article from the Wall Street Journal. It talked about how if you are investing for 10 years, if you had been in the past investing for 10 or more, 10 years, you only had a 6% chance of losing money over that 10-year period.
And yet you hear all these scare stories.
And we know that there is a 0% risk. There would have been a 0% risk of losing money over 15 or 20 years. Zero.
And yet, because all of
your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking.
We'd rather not lose money than make money. So guess
and
what?
If the you want help from one of our overworked
that.
Advisors,
and they're going to sell you something that's going to tell you how you'll never lose. It'll never go down.
Just go to vestry.com and set up an appointment to talk with one of them. We will help everyone
today. Can I throw in one more
thing? Something we believe in. If you
want to
be an advisor for us, you need to believe in the same thing that everyone deserves.
We need a lot of help.
Well, we always get help. I mean, there are therapists calling us every week.
It's too early.
Can I help you guys? Don't play that yet. It's too early.
Our joke writers are horrible.
So if you want help, go to vestry.com and just go down the page.
You're like a stockbroker or something?
One of our advisors. No sales pitch, no obligation.
Maybe. They may want to go. They may want to go straight to stockbrokers or CFPs.
We need another advisor. On Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time. So please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advice. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can make your life. Yeah, I mean, if you're driven by doing right by your clients and not by getting rich as fast as humanly possible, you'll like working at Vestry. You really will.
Any financial product or securities. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit
talkingrealmoney.com. Either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.